I've kind of got twisted up and tangled up in everything I've been preaching over the last several weeks and having to go take care of a few other things. And we've been talking about adventures with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's an adventure. If you look through the book of Acts, it was not just one thing that the Holy Spirit was involved in. But the Holy Spirit was involved in a whole lot of stuff. The Holy Ghost. Now, if I say ghost or spirit, it's the same Greek word pneuma. You know what I mean. It means breath. And that is what heaven sent to the earth for you and I. I guarantee you I got a whole lot more preaching in me this morning than I've got time to do. So whenever I get done or whenever I get to that point that I feel like that the Lord says, okay, that's enough for now. We'll just wait till the next time and pick back up, which will be tonight at 6 o'clock. What are y'all doing tonight at 6 o'clock anyway? I just wondering where you'd be at. But I want to start this morning with something that's extremely familiar to anybody that's ever came into a Pentecostal church, not just the Church of God. But Acts chapter number 2 is where I want you to turn today. And I'm going to do a little bit of reading. But as I read this, I want to do more than just read it. I want you to hear what's being read. And in the process of me reading and you hearing, I pray that, this is the only way I know how to say this, I pray that the anointing of the Spirit and the chemistry of heaven will come down to earth. I pray that the super will come down and touch the natural, that we will have a supernatural experience with God. Let me go ahead and say this, moving in. You say, well, I don't feel such and such. I don't feel the Holy Spirit. I don't feel Jesus today. But I know we cannot merit everything we do based on feeling. I understand that. But with that being said, all the way throughout the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost was experiential. He showed up, excuse me the way I'm going to say it, and he showed out. And the people that was there at that time knew that there was something supernatural going on in the midst of the people. Now, before I read this, let me just go a little bit further and say this again on a Sunday morning. I think I might have said this on Sunday night a couple of weeks ago. That Pentecostal churches has always been a mixed flavor of a lot of different things. And I think the Holy Ghost, the third person in the Godhead Trinity, has been blamed and accused of a whole lot of things that he had nothing to do with. I know that fraud has been a part of the Pentecostal church. And people will say, God told me such and such, or God told me this, or God led me to do that. With no biblical basis of what they were saying that they were doing. I've been down that road. I've traveled that road with fanaticism and a lot of different frauds during years ago that we were a part of. And seen things and different things that people would, you know. And I'm not here to talk about that. And I'm not here to bash that. And I'm not even here to try to dissect that or even evaluate that. But I believe that my assignment here this morning is simply based on facts. That God sent His Son Jesus. And Jesus even tells us in the book of John, he said, except I go away, the Comforter will not come. And we know that in the book of Acts, chapter 1, where that, and I'm just going to paraphrase that for time, we know that when Jesus was there and the disciples was there and there was other people of Jerusalem that was there, that Jesus had told them, except I go away, the Comforter shall not come. And as the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, and they beheld him, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And the angels actually said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? That this same Jesus, I like that, don't you? Not a counterfeit, not a remake of the original, not another. But this same Jesus will come again as you have seen him. Likewise, as you have seen him go away, he will come again. That's why you need to be ready at any moment. That's a rapture message for another time. Because I believe that as soon as the trumpet will toot, we shall scoot. Come on, somebody. As quick as the Lord says, come up hither, we're going to be gone. But yet, while we're here, and here's the great thing. Jesus told us in the book of John, it is expedient that I go away. It is necessary, it is beneficial for you that I go away. Because he says, I'm going to send another comforter. The word another is a word that means one like unto the same. Now here's where we get kind of weird sometimes. This is where we lose it right here. Because we believe in Jesus. Any Jesus believers in the room? But we get all bent out of shape when we start talking about this one that will come that Jesus said he would send. There had to be an evidence that he had came. There had to be an evidence that he's here even now. When we look in Acts chapter 2, where we're going to start reading today, this is everything that Jesus said to that early church. It's the promise. He breathed on them in the book of Luke and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I don't know why we get so tore up about that. I can tell you why. Are y'all real this morning? You want to get into some real church today? It's because you've seen the lunatics. And if you don't send me no ugly email, I won't even read it. You've seen the lunatics. You've seen people that have taken abuses and named it on Pentecost. You say, well, what are you talking about today? There's those that will take abuses of picking up snakes and things like that, and then they'll associate that with everything that we believe in as a church of God, as a Pentecostal church, and everybody else thinks we're the same as they. But we're all doing it under the same umbrella. If I'm going to pick up a snake, it's going to be like Paul did. I'm getting your attention now, aren't I? I'm going to do like Paul when Paul was gathering the sticks in the latter part of the book of Acts and when he was gathering the sticks to build the fire. There was a viper, Sandra, the Bible said there was a viper that came out of the sticks and beat him on the arm. I like what Jan Aldridge said that time. Paul didn't let that snake hang on his arm and say, look at my snake. He just threw it off right into the fire. Which means none of these things shall harm you. Which means that God, through the power of the Spirit, has told the truth in the book of Mark chapter 16. Verifying that. So when you look into the book of Acts chapter 2, we see this phenomenal event called the Day of Pentecost. The marvelous event, the word 50th, after the Day of Atonement, after that the Easter area that we know, 50 days after that, the Day of Atonement. That when the Day of Pentecost had fully come, all these people were gathered together. But they were gathered together waiting on the promise of the Father. When you open this up in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was ready. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Now, right there is where people fall out of the hearse. Because too often in the church, we glorify what God only meant to be the evidence. Now, stay with me for the next 2 hours and we'll get through this together. Just kidding. And he says there that they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Verse 5 says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of the every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. All the people that was there, there were all kinds of people there. But they heard these individuals that got filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost speaking in their language so that they could understand what these in the upper room were actually saying. Now that, my friend, is Bible. That's not Alan Green. That ain't Greenology. I'll read the rest of it there in a minute. So it confounded them. How in the world was this happening? How in the world was all of this going on when none of these people that were speaking in our language had learned how to speak in our language? Well, what were they doing? The Bible will tell us that in just a moment, but I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. They were praising God. They were magnifying God. They were glorifying Him, and all these people that were gathered around, God used the power of the Holy Ghost to become the witness and power to these individuals that I'll read about in just a few minutes. I said that to say this, that the Holy Ghost then was a supernatural power. Here we go. We're going to fall out of the hearse again. And the Holy Ghost today is still a supernatural power. It's not by the hand of man. We'll read about that after a while, if I get there this morning. It's not man's doings. When a genuine move of the Spirit of God shows up, and that is my prayer today. I'm not praying for some type of something that man can do. You know why? Because it won't get the job done. It will fall flat. It will not last. But if the power of God comes on the church the way that it came on the church, Brother Robert, on the day of Pentecost, there is a lasting effect. And I'll get into all of this. We'll weed it all out. We'll talk about it. There again, there's weeks and weeks of worth of preaching still in front of me to do this. Stuff I've not even mentioned to you guys yet, but stuff I'm processing and working on. But here's where we're at with this one, because he says, and they were all amazed in verse 7, and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, round about Cyrene, the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Again, the Spirit of God, the outpouring of God, was for the edification of God Himself. We read that right there in verse 11. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Verse 13, we know that verse of Scripture, where they were there and they were saying and mocking and making fun at them, and said, these men are full of new wine. And here Peter is. Peter was the, somehow or another, he I don't know if he ever got nominated, but he ended up being the vocal part of the believers, and he was the one that became the mouthpiece. He's the one that always stood up and said things he shouldn't have said. Jesus, I'll never deny thee. And Jesus said, yes, you will. But all of that happened in the life of Peter. But one thing happened for sure in the life of Peter. When Peter received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Peter finally was filled with the boldness to be able to articulate what needed to be said in the face of unbelievers. I'm telling you today that the Holy Ghost will make a difference in your life. We need that power in the church today. Now let me just go ahead and slip, get on this slippery slope a little bit more today. Because again, when we begin to think about this, we again do not need what man can do. And I want to try to be very careful with my wording and the way I say things, because I want to try to emphasize this today, that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by His Spirit. That the Holy Ghost of God is very much alive and well on planet Earth today. He didn't go out in Acts 29. Look that chapter up. Look that book up and read it. And see if he ends anywhere there. No. Peter actually was the one that began to verify that. And he says this in verse 14. And he begins to say these words. And Peter standing up with the 11. All of those that was around Peter. I can only imagine all this in the upper room. And they were there. And all the Cretes and all the different people that was gathered around there. And all of a sudden they're wondering, what is Peter going to say? Now, how are you going to explain this? Peter done a great job. And he done it by the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And he says this in the Word, and he says, and Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Listen to what I am saying. Then he comes back and he says in verse 15, for these are not drunken as you suppose. Again, as the old-timey Pentecostal preachers would say, he did not say they were not drunk. He just said they was not drunk as you suppose. In other words, when you begin to look at that, he says, but it is but the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. Way too early to be intoxicated. Way too early to be in the new wine, if you will. Way too early for that. Peter had to verify, and Peter was saying, Brother Scott mentioned it in the Sunday school lesson, again, talking about the book of Joel, because this is it right here, because he said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Okay, let's stay biblical. Let's stay point on. And he said, spoken by the prophet Joel, but it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour. Now, he didn't say, I'll accidentally spill the Holy Ghost on you. But he said, I will pour. It is on purpose. It is intent. I know what I'm doing. This is what you've got to have. You've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost in the church. You've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Because I'm no longer with you, Jesus said. I am going to fulfill the duty that the Father sent me for. I'm going to go back to the Father. I'm going to sit at the right hand. And there I am as a mediator or an intercessor for God the Father on behalf of my people. But yet I'm going to do something phenomenal. I'm going to send the third person in the Godhead Trinity. And he's going to be here on planet Earth. Can I just go ahead and say this? That the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot see the wind. You see the effects of the wind. May I submit this unto you, that the Holy Spirit of God is in this room right now in our presence. He is here with us. How do you know that? Because he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And when he says this, upon all flesh, pinch yourself and see if you're living today. And in this, he says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. 18 says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then he goes on, and again, Peter begins to talk about the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. I don't know where all these blood moons come in. I'm just going to leave that where it's at right now. There's those just written books. There are those that follow this stuff. But I'm just going by what the Lord said. He said there's going to be these things that's going to happen in the last days. And again, I'm going to stay focused. I'm not going to get into tsunamis and earthquakes and wildfires and floods. I'm not going to get into all that today. My friend, the earth is groaning for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anything that you and I need in the day and the hour that we're living in, we need a good old-fashioned dose of the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Holy Ghost of heaven to come down one more time and touch us in a fashion and in a way that cannot be explained by the hand of man. Now let me try my best to stay focused. And let me try to say this in a way that makes sense. I've been part of the Church of God for 30 plus years. I've seen a lot, done a lot, missed a lot. And by that, I'm simply saying, years ago in the Pentecostal church, there was this hunger. There was this expectation. There was this really mysterious, Brother Beckner, thing called the Holy Spirit of God that we were desireful of. We wanted God to, we made ourselves available and we said, God, here am I. Anybody besides me remember that? And see, when we would desire to be filled with the Spirit, it was a desire to be filled, but yet to also honor God's word where God said that he would pour out his Spirit in these last days. When you begin to look at the latter part of this, he says that he's going to do this before verse 20. And then he says in verse number 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. So when we think about the Holy Ghost, there is a whole lot of reading. So if you'll bear with me for just a few minutes, I'm going to read some, I'm going to tie it together, and then we'll go find us something to eat and come back about 4:30. But in this, we see again in Acts 2 and 38 where Peter again was preaching this message. The first message that Peter preached was a message of repentance. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost subsequent to the new birth. In other words, Jesus told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. The biblical recipe or the model or whatever you might want to call it is Jesus, again, through Peter, he stayed on target. Because he told them, if you'll repent, you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You'll receive what he uses the terminology here, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me dig a little deeper. When you look at this in Acts 2 and 38, and there again, Peter had already preached a message. They were pricked in their heart. He called them to repentance. Repent and everyone be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, we got to think about that. Jesus, watch this real close. Jesus called them, Peter called for them to be baptized in water as a believer. But yet Jesus promised that he would baptize the church with the Holy Ghost. He promised the believer. When Peter said this in the latter part of Acts 2 and 38, he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me once again try to tie this together and work on it. I believe, now here we go, y'all ready? I believe, based on this scripture, everybody needs to repent. You need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. According to this scripture, the next thing that's going to take place is you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now stay with me. Somebody says, well, the nine gifts of the Spirit that's mentioned in the 1 Corinthians, am I going to prophesy? Am I going to speak with tongues? Am I going to speak interpretation of tongues? Now, don't get that far down the list yet, okay? We're not there yet. Now, here's where we're at this morning, because the endowment of power, as we look at the word that you shall be clothed upon, is in Acts 1 and 8. We've read that scripture many times, but he says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I believe that every true believer needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now you say, well, preacher, does that mean I'm going to speak in tongues? I didn't study that. I didn't want to get into it. But why do we do that? Why is that important? Say that again, Bob. How would you know that the Spirit of God was there if there was not some type of evidence in your life, verification, a seal? If you did not know somewhere, somehow, that he was there. Well, let me read the rest of this, then we're going to go on a journey. And it's already 9 minutes to 12, and I think I can preach to about 12:38 this morning, get by with it. Just kidding. So let's look at this for a minute. Because this thing is deep, guys. There's more in here than I can get into in an hour. I promise you that. But I believe that every person needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. How can you verify that? When you look at this in the scripture, we look at this again in the book of Acts chapter 2 in verse 38. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again, understanding that this Holy Ghost that we look at in the scripture is called a gift several times throughout the book of Acts. And I'll get into some of those at some point. This is very important. You don't have to, and don't get mad at me, you don't have to have 25 people beat you in the back of the head and the other 25 beating you in your shoulders saying, come on, let go, hang loose, get it, whatever. I've done that. I've spit in people's face accidentally. I've beat people on the head. Come on, you got to get the Holy Ghost, come on. But understand this. We're not wrong in that. I'll still pray for people. I pray for Brother Tim. Come on, Brother Tim. Come on, pray till you get it. But here's what I want you to see. We've made it hard. We've made it hard because we've worried only about speaking in tongues. And don't misunderstand me on that. I'll get there. But I want you to get this part of the message. As you have received salvation by faith, the same faith it takes you, are you with me? The same faith that it takes you to believe Jesus for salvation is the same faith that it's going to take to believe Jesus for the gift of the Holy Ghost. By that, the commentary basically said, and this is one of the things that it was very imperative that we reiterated, that we said, that as salvation is a gift of grace, so is the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit a gift of grace. Are you with me? Now, I believe in exuberant worship. I believe in exuberant praise. I believe in shouting. I believe in praising the Lord. I believe in running an aisle and or jumping on a pew. If God touches you and if it's in the Spirit of the Lord, God bless you, and so be it. Because you're either going to be in the Spirit or you're going to embarrass yourself really, really bad. And I learned a long time ago, if you just let wildfire burn out, sometimes it'll burn out, but sometimes you have to deal with it too. And I can do that. I'm not afraid to deal with it. But I don't get hung up on those things. I learned a long time ago, just don't get all tore out of shape about stuff like that. But here's the thing that I wanted to get to, and I know I'm taking my time this morning. This is nowhere near come out the way I thought it would as I studied. I promise you that. But I want you to understand the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost, where Jesus again, or Peter, excuse me, where Peter said that if you'll repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Then he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look in this next verse when you look at this, because in the verse 39 he says, For the promise, he's called the promise. Jesus says, this is a promise, but he is the promise. This is the promise that I'm giving you, is the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he says, his promise is unto you, to you and to your children. Hannah sings that song, and I love her. I love to get her to sing that song every now and then about, it's out of the book of Numbers. But it's a priestly prayer of the Levites, I believe it was, where that it talks about, as they wrote this song, that is to you and to your children and to a generation and to a generation. And that is what we look at this morning, that this indwelling of the Holy Spirit was not just for the upper room people. It was not just for the Shearer Schoolhouse. It was not just for Barney Creek. It was not just for Azusa Street. Back in the turn of the century, in different places around the nation and around the world, actually, where the Spirit of God was being poured out. If we're ever going to have an end time revival, I believe that God wants to baptize and fill His church again. My friend, from the very back wall to the very front wall, from side to side, that everybody be filled with the Spirit. And I believe this is what God intended to happen on the day of Pentecost, again, when we look at that. And this is another important part, and I didn't go into great detail of it, but I wanted to share it with you. What is the difference between then and now? What is the difference between the Old Testament? I'm sure Brother Scott's taught many lessons on this. But when you think about the Old Testament, we think about the phenomenal works of what God did in the Old Testament. Now, stay with me. When you look at the New Testament model of the Holy Spirit, we understand that the Holy Spirit outpouring happened on the day of Pentecost. What about these guys way back in the day? What about these guys like Elijah or Elisha or Samuel or pick one. Just pick one. David or any of those guys that God would use for phenomenal work. My understanding, and Bob, you help me if I'm wrong, the Spirit of God would come upon them, and the Spirit of God would move upon them for a work or for a task. But yet here's the thing. The Spirit of God would move upon them for a season, and He would anoint them for a season to do a certain job. I mean, whether it be a jawbone of a donkey or whatever the case may be, as it was with Samson, and how that he was moved upon by the Spirit of God. Now here's our understanding of this. Here's my understanding of it. The Spirit of God would move upon them and dwell on them. But here's the thing. Now, according to Jesus, and I'll turn there in a minute and read the scripture. The Spirit of God, that same Spirit of God that happened on Pentecost, this is so exciting to me. It's so exciting. Because he did not tell them that the Spirit of God would move upon them. Let me read this, because this is so exciting, because Jesus has promised to be poured out of the Spirit. He said, I'm going to pour out the Spirit on you. According to French Arrington, out of one of the commentaries I've been reading out of, this is really exciting right here. Because at that time, poured out, as he told them that the Holy Ghost would be poured out upon them, it was not just something that a little sprinkling, as we use the little funny story, the Brill Cream syndrome. Some of you know what that is, some of you don't. Some of you don't have a clue what Brill Cream is. What was their logo? A little dab will do you. Men used to grease their hairs back with a little Brill Cream. It don't take much, just a little bit. But see, we're so used to just a little dab will do you. But when we look at the Word, he said, I would pour out my Spirit. In commentary, he said that God did not, nor does he give the Holy Ghost sparingly. In the book of Luke in 13, you can look there real fast. I'm going to tie it together. In the book of Luke, chapter number 11 and 13, this is what the promise was. When you look at that verse of Scripture, it was one that promised that God would fill the house. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Let me turn there really quick and read that. And when we look at this, we see in verse 13 of Luke 11. And it says in that particular scripture, if I can find it, I'm looking too. He says, if you look at that, he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? See, there's a key. They had to ask. We have to ask. We have to desire it. We have to want it. In other words, we're saying, God, fill me. Fill me up. Fill me up on the inside. Fill my vessel, Lord. Not just a little bit, but God, a deluge of heaven. God, fill me. And I pray this prayer that, God, that you would fill me every day. Fill this man of clay. Fill this vessel of clay with a fresh and a new anointing of your Spirit. Oh, God, fill us to that overflowing. Again, God, don't have a spot in my life that is not filled. We're going to look at John for just a moment, because this verifies what I was saying. If you look in John chapter 14, there's a couple of different scriptures. We've talked about these scriptures before, but I want to talk about them in light of what we're talking about here today. That God said he would, on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Ghost was poured out. Is that not what he said? And then it said, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them. There was a physical and a visible spark of fire, if you will, that was seen by those that was there. The wind of the Spirit came in, and how that they began to speak with other tongues as the evidence that he had shown up. Now, you're going to fall out of the hearse here on this one. But how do you know the Holy Ghost is there if He's not witnessing through you? You say, well, you're going old school on us. Well, Bob, that's what I was taught, and that's what I understand even then, and I understand now. Brother Wes, you'd probably preach it this way too. If He's there, He's talking. If He's there, He's manifesting somehow, some way, and that's the only way we know in our own self. That wasn't Alan that did that. Woo! May I please share a story? Who will let me share a story? Thank you. There's a couple of you. And then I'm going to go back and read this scripture and I'll let you go. Folks, call me old-fashioned. Call me antiquated. Call me out of date. It's still in the book, ain't it, Chris? Call me old. I don't care. It is what it is. But in the early 80s, we hadn't got dignified yet. Brother Larry, we still believed in the move of the Holy Ghost in the early 80s. We hadn't got to that point where we wanted to usher that aside. We wanted to fit in with culture. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We still believed in the moving of the Holy Ghost. Two stories I'm going to tell you real fast. My wife received the Holy Ghost at the foot. David and Jeff and Chris will really appreciate this message. She received the Holy Ghost laying at the feet of three Clyde firemen that I had brought to church with us. And I told her, I said, you mind yourself tonight. These are my buddies and these are my friends. And honest to God, before Jesus I stand. About where Sue's sitting right here, those guys was over there. It was me and Sherry. And God slayed her in the Holy Ghost and she went right down between every one of them. Right in front of them. Right in front of them. One of them became a member of my church later in the Church of God in Waynesville. Later, he's still a friend of mine to this day. God ain't going to give you the Holy Ghost on your terms. But when I received the Holy Ghost, it was at the Whittier camp meeting in the early 80s. Guess who was preaching? Mr. Pentecost himself. Ray H. Hughes was preaching on a Saturday night. And when he got done preaching, I mean, I had all week long, I worked at a convenience store filling ice bags and filling coolers and just doing things around there, sweeping and cleaning gas pumps, just working at a convenience store. All kinds of stuff. Man, about 6:15 of the evening, I knew camp meeting was going on. And the Mountain View Church of God had a big school bus. They transported people to camp meeting on. And I'd look at that bus go by right in front of the Easy Stop in Clyde. Chris, you've been there. Some of you others have been to the Easy Stop in Clyde. Maybe Andrew, I can't remember. The ones that went with us on the mountain trip. And I'd look out the way and I'd see that bus go by and I'd say, God, I want to go to camp meeting so bad. I want to go. I got to have the Holy Ghost. I want to go to camp meeting so bad. And that went on for a week. A week. Finally, I was off on Saturday night. Ray Hughes was preaching. Those of you that don't know Ray Hughes, look him up. That's all I can tell you. But he was preaching that night. This is the truth if I've ever told it. I was standing in that. I was in the congregation. I was sitting there. When he got through preaching, he said, if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come right now and God will fill you up. And I was in the middle section of the tabernacle. They don't have it set up that way now. But I jumped up and Shelby, it's the truth and I'm here to witness it. I can take you to the spot. Can I, Nora? I took Nora. We were up there. I said, Nora, right here's where it happened. You remember that? I said, right here's where it happened. And Sandra, the moment I stepped in that altar, God began to speak through me in a heavenly language. And that was close to 40 years ago, something like that. And it's still just as good today as it was then. I'll be honest with you. I need him just as much now as I needed him then. My little old granny was probably about as tall as Sandra, no pun intended. She come up there and she looked at me. She said, "Son, did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it?" I grabbed my granny around the neck and I went to shout with my granny across the front of that tabernacle. She never had to ask me that again. She knew there was a change. Folks, these two next scriptures that I'm going to read to you is the difference between what I mentioned earlier about the Holy Spirit dwelling on Elijah, David, Samuel, whoever it was. Because this is the promise of the Lord. I didn't make this promise. Jesus made this promise. Look at this. This is in the book of John, chapter number 14. Verse 16 says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So he is an abiding Holy Ghost. He's abiding. "I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life." And then we sing, "He abides. He abides. He now stays. He would move upon them for the season, but now, Brother Bob, he's here to stay." You don't wake up with him in the morning and lose him at night. Come on now. You live the life where he'll stay. Then he says, look at this, "For the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him," or you'll know him, "ye know him, for he," watch this, dwelleth, I like that word, "he dwelleth with you." You and him hang out together. He dwelleth. That's the difference between living a life of sin and living a life of holiness and purity. Because the Holy Ghost ain't going to dwell around that is unclean and that is impure. I thought I'd throw that in there. Didn't cost you nothing. But he says, "For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." He came upon those Old Testament saints. But yet now Jesus said, he's going to be in you. And you know what? If you read Romans 8, we know this, and I don't want to cross over back into other territory, but his spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And you know what else? Jesus said you're going to know when he's there and when he ain't there. I want you to stand with me. I'll preach another hour. I got enough stuff up there to preach 2 hours. Now, it would be horrible of me to get to this point. Brother Robert, I might need some help here. I mean, you might need to prop me up. But it would be horrible to get to this point in this message and tell y'all just to go get you some cake and fried chicken and have a good day. But I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge this church. If you've ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, my friend, don't take it for granted. Don't brush it off. But I've already studied it, a lot of it. I want to continue to study a lot of it. There's one baptism, but there's a whole lot of refillings. How many times have you had to go back and fill your car up with gas over again? Because you're running dry. I want to tell you something, friend. There's times even in your life, in my life, we can run dry. Sometimes we got to go back and get refilled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And that is what my prayer is for this church and for you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you want me to pray for you, I'll pray for you this morning. I can take you to the Bible today, right now, and show you that when Paul and Peter and John, I think it was, with Peter or one of the other ones that was there. They went to a place called Samaria. Brother Bob, you know what happened. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. I didn't think there was a whole lot to that. Paul laid his hands on them. Brother Beckner, he was the agent that God used to lay his hands on them. Ain't no power in me. She knows me more than anybody in this room. I'm made of dirt. I'm a vessel. But yet, there's biblical patterns for things that happened in the New Testament. They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let me ask you a question, and we're going to pray. If you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, here's the thing. I want to pray for you. And that's very, very, very important. But on the other hand of that, I desire that you read the Bible. And I desire that you see it in the Bible for yourself. And then nobody will be able to convince you that it's not real when you come and then God fills you with the Holy Ghost. Secondly, we were in a meeting this week in Charlotte. I had to go to a state council meeting, and one of the devotions was this. It was about Israel. It was out of the book of Ezekiel. Can these bones live? I know it's about Israel. And then he said, as the question was, can these bones live? And he answered back and he said, Lord, thou knowest. And then he prayed and they stood up on their feet, and a mighty and an exceeding army. I said, all that to say this. You know where you're at today. You know where you're at in your relationship with God. You know where you're at right now, whether you're full, whether you're empty, whether you're dry, whether you're barren, or whether you got a little bit more room left in your life for the Holy Ghost to come and give you another touch. I pray for that. I've went too long without preaching the Holy Ghost and being a Pentecostal church. We went too long. Preach about all kinds of things, do all kinds of things, but I can't help it. It's what's in my heart right now. But you know what? This world is looking for the real, genuine move of God. And this world, my friend, needs a church that's on fire of the Spirit of God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, God, right now that you would touch this congregation. Lord, I just prayed, Father God, for what you put in my heart in this room this morning. Everything that, God, that I've tried to study and everything I've tried to share. Lord, I've tried to stay biblical. I've tried to stay on solid ground. I've tried my best, God, to share with this congregation how much we need the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the day and the hour that we're living in. Father, it's not by merit. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God, I pray for people in this room right now, Lord, that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, let them accept it by faith. Let them, Father God, be moved upon by the power of your Spirit. Lord, even though they laid hands on them in the New Testament, I don't have to lay hands on nobody. But God, just like the day of Pentecost, that the Spirit of God came down upon the people and filled the house where they were sitting. God, for those that have lost their hunger, for those that's lost their desire, for those that's lost their want, Father, I pray, God, right now that you would take this congregation as a Pentecostal church, and God, that you would fill us and refill us with your power. Now, if you're in this room, I'm going to go old school on you again. Just raise your hand. Say, Lord, here I am. Fill me up. You don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be scared of it. You don't have to be scared of Him. You don't have to be scared of the moving of the Holy Ghost. And as you feel the Holy Ghost of God come upon you, just begin to praise Him. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I magnify you. Jesus, I glorify your name. And then if you feel something dwell up on the inside of you that feels like rivers of living water gushing out on the inside of you, it may be something that you've never heard in your life, but be obedient to the Spirit of God and just begin to praise Him. And if God puts a tongue in your mouth, you speak it out. You praise Him in the Holy Ghost. It's that simple, friend. I can't give it to you, but He can. And He's looking for vessels all over this room to fill. If you need a refilling right now, I pray that God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, He would fill you up. He would change your life. He would change the trajectory of your life, just like God did for me on that Saturday night. Sometimes we got to get hungry. Sometimes we got to thirst for righteousness. Sometimes it don't happen the first time we think it should. But friend, if you'll get hungry, I'm going to go back a little old school on you again. Brother West, it was not a strange thing for us when I grew up to look at another brother and say, "Have you got it? Come with me." I love this man. He preached a powerful message last weekend. "Come here, Robert. Told you he was going to get to come. I'm not going to make fun of you guys. God help me, I'm not making fun. I stand between 70-something, 80-something, 88, 70, 79, 62. Gray hair. I didn't say no hair. Getting gray hair. I wish I had a little boy. Bring me one of them little boys over here. They don't care. Give me one of them. I don't care. Either one of them. Both of them. Send both of them over here. Come on. You're going to think I've done it. Lost my marbles. Old men. Young men. Where's my little girl, Summer? Sons. My God, I feel it. Daughters. Who are they waiting on? You and me. Friend, if we don't believe in Pentecost, if we don't believe in the Holy Ghost, we don't believe the Bible. We need to lock the doors, turn this place into a pizza parlor, and go do something else. My God, I feel it. I'm not going to jerk on you, boys. I'm sorry. But if we believe in Pentecost, and if we believe in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, these children are waiting on us. We're not waiting on them. They're waiting on us. Stretch your hand this way and pray for these children. Father, I pray, God, right now that you would put a hunger and a thirst in their lives. God, they came straight up here. They didn't know what I was going to do. They trusted me. God, just as these children trusted me, we got to trust you to fill the church and fill the people with the Holy Ghost. And God, if there's ever been a day and an hour that we need the Holy Ghost, it's the day and the hour we're living in. Yes, we need Jesus. Yes, we need the blood. Yes, we need repentance. Yes, we need salvation. Yes, we need baptism in water. But Lord, we need baptism in the Holy Ghost to become the witnesses of the power of God. Lord, I pray for Summer today. Pray for these two young men today. That God, that you touch them. And all the children around this room, that God, there be some seeds planted in their heart, that God, they'll know there's something different about it. And God, I pray that you'd touch them today. In Jesus' name, God bless y'all. Y'all sit down somewhere, rejoice in the Lord. Thank you for staying. Thank you for letting me bare my heart. Thank you for letting me just share my heart. There was an old song. We're not going to try to sing it right now. Maybe we can sing it tonight. I don't know. That old song out of the Red Back Hymnal. I think it's around page 121, the latter part of that page. You don't have to sing it. You know where that song starts off? They were in the upper chamber. They were all in one accord. And the chorus said, Lord, send the power just now. They didn't say power. In the mountains, we say power. Send the power. Send the power, God. Send it. I wonder, before you leave, just by show of hand, Lord, I'm available for your presence to fill my life. Father God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, every hand that's raised, they say they're a candidate. God, would you fill them, refill them with the Holy Ghost. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a praise. See you at 4:30. I did want to add this one thing in. Now would be a perfect time for you to jump.